in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we praise you tonight. Matthew chapter 24, yeah. We are going to talk about prophetic things tonight, and the Lord is here. Oh God, have your way, Jesus. Have your way. First things. Can you remember the first things that happened in your life, the meaningful things that's ever happened? Remember the first things. The first time that you loved someone. Or the first time that you drove a car. Or the first time something very important happened in your life. Do you remember the first things? The first day of school. Your first day of high school. Your first time that you did something very important to you. The first things. You had never done them before. You'd never seen them before. But they were first things. They were the things that were so important. But you didn't know what to expect because it happened, hadn't happened to you before. And here we stand. We're looking into the Holy Scriptures and we're looking at these first things. None of us has ever seen, nor has the world seen, some of the things. These are first things. That's happened since they were predicted thousands of years ago. And we're seeing these first things happen right before our very eyes. And we need to see them and understand what they are and not miss them or mistake them or mistake where we are at in the timeline of God. It's so important to know that you are standing in unprecedented, in epic times. Even as epic as the day when Jesus walked the earth himself. I'm going to read these words to you. And the words that Jesus spoke are the very things that's happening today. And we're going to go through some of these things. It's important, and we can throw discipleship all over this because we have to be discerners and understanders, understanding of his word. We have got to know this. And see this, to believe that what Jesus said will come true. They walked in belief. Did you know that Jesus said the end would come, he would return when the world heard the gospel? Do you know that the disciples, it's archaeologically proven, the disciples immediately, the main apostolic group stand behind in Jerusalem. The apostolic or the disciple group immediately left. We know through archaeological finds they were as far as India, that Thomas was killed in India, beaten with a fuller's club. We know that they were as far as England, and we know that Mary was buried in England. Mary Magdalene. We know that little Watsy's name that climbed the sycamore tree. Zacchaeus. That climbed the sycamore tree. Buried in England. Through archaeological evidence, we know, we see these people pushing out. Because they believed in what Jesus said. They had witnessed firsthand. I mean, could you imagine how elevated your faith would be if you were witness to his majesty, right? And you've seen the things. We've talked about this. And you witnessed it with your own eyes. You knew he was coming back. As disciples, we have to put that same faith in what he said. And to understand, it's been a long time since Jesus was here, but these things are applicable and are going on today, and we have descriptions of what's happened, and I'm going to share them with you. And you're living in the time.
We heard a speaker.
Oh,
sorry.
No. Go ahead.
He just made such a good statement, I thought. His name is Mark Wolno. And he said, we're in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And like, you got to bring it with everything you've got. It's on the line.
It's it.
And I was like, oh, that's such a good analogy.
Yes. And perfect analogy. Perfect analogy. Yeah. Everything. When you see them guys play in that game, yeah. They're far surpassed what they typically do during the season. They're on a whole another level. And that's where we have to be at. Listen to this. This is chapter 24, and I'm going to read. I'm going to do some heavy reading. This is in the NLT. I don't mean to offend anybody that's got the King James. I'm trying to get you to hear this in your language that you speak, so that you will fully understand this. And then we'll pick this apart just a little bit, and talk about what's going on in these scriptures. Listen to this. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, this is verse 1. His disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings, but he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left upon another." We know that that's already been fulfilled AD 70. We've talked about that in between the stones, when Nero set the town on fire, the gold melted within the temple. It got in between the stonework, and to get the gold out, they had to remove every stone from off of another, and that's how they mined the gold out of the burnt temple. Fulfilled, AD 70. Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah." Going on today, big time. There are so many people out there who are deceivers, who claim that Jesus is the Messiah. This verse isn't to be misunderstood as someone is claiming themselves to be Messiah. This isn't the ultimate deception, where someone claims Jesus is the Messiah, but they feed you a false gospel that will lead you to hell if you buy into it. This is so important to understand this, that there are deceivers out there who will deceive you, claiming that Jesus, in fact, is the Messiah, but their doctrine is all wrong. Now, we've talked about this, and I'll repeat it because it's so very important. There are not many ways to God. There's one way. There's one faith, one blood, one baptism, one Lord. That's very singular, right? That's very one way. There's not all these branches that get to God. And so there is a lot of deception. So we know that that's going on. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. Been going on since the beginning of time, especially now. I forget the percentage. I looked it up. I want to say 80% of the world is at war in some fashion. 80% of planet Earth is at war with someone. That's an amazing thought. So you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will war against nation. Nation is the word, comes from the Greek word ethnos, which means ethnicity. So what you're going to see here is he says nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Ethnic wars will be so bad, there'll be so much ethnic uprisings that it will cause kingdoms, countries to go to war with each other. You're smack dab in the middle of that. You're smack dab in that. We're seeing this on our college campuses right now. Our country is getting, we are at war. We're just proxy warring here and there, but we're funding war. We're at war with different ethnicities and different religious groups. Kingdoms are at war right now. We are fixing to have World War III. I can say that as an authority because the Bible says it's going to happen. The whole world is going to be at war. We are going to be at war with the Eastern countries. We are going to be at war against Russia because the Bible said it's going to happen. The only thing is it going to be right now? Everything is pointing to that happening. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if America falls. Don't be surprised at that. Our dollar is already being replaced in many countries as the currency of the world. Before long, your money is not going to be worth anything. That's what the Bible says. A day's wages for a loaf of bread. Can you imagine that? Where your paper money will be worth nothing. And all that you worked for and have worked for, what's it going to be for? This is the world that is coming. This is not a pretty picture. This isn't your Joel Osteen false prophet message. Trust me. This is not the way things will go. The fact of the matter is, it will be as I'm describing to you. That's what the Bible says. A sense of urgency needs to take us over. He says here, there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Already going on. Already people starving to death. You see this on television, African nations all over the place. Food shortages everywhere. Even in America, we're having shortages, right? The land of plenty. Earthquakes and famines. We're looking at these devastating tornadoes and these earthquakes. We just had an earthquake here not too awful long ago. There was a mild earthquake here in Kentucky. Up in New Jersey, they had an earthquake. My son was just in an earthquake not long ago. There are earthquakes happening. I forget the when I looked online, it's been a little while. The average earthquakes over the last 100 years has went up like 100%. So that they've been right on the rise every year that man's been on the planet. And Jordan and I were having an interesting conversation. Every time something happens, you know, we have Jordan made the comment about China buying up a bunch of Western land, farmland out there, and then we have these tornadoes come across the land. And I'll tell you, every time we turn our back on Israel, God hammers us with some kind of big thing happening to us. You mark my words. You watch us turn on Israel, and we'll have natural disasters one after the next, because God will bring judgment on a nation that turns its back on, especially on Israel. Listen at this. Many will turn away. It says, famines and earthquakes, many parts of the world, but this is only the birth pains. So when Tammy was pregnant, I got to throw her in there. I just look pregnant. Can I get an amen? 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Yeah, oh, that was a big loud one coming from JP. Yeah. Somebody give me that oil again. I'm going to sprinkle it on her.
I couldn't right there.
Well, I've never had a contraction. But I hear they're pretty bad, right? And I remember when our babies was coming, and she'd go, whoa! And I'd say, what was that? Whoo! Yeah. And then a little time, we go, hey! Right? Mmm! And I was watching a golf game in the middle of Tammy giving birth. I said, can you quiet it down back there? I'm trying to watch that. And, no. Haley's looking at me, God. No. But I was. But it wasn't that bad. But then birth pains happen, and they get shorter and shorter time frame until birth happens. And we're in the middle of these contractions right now. And the birth is going to be the coming when the eastern sky splits. Jesus Christ coming. That will be when the last birth pain will be Christ coming into this world. And we are there. We're there. Then you'll be arrested. Listen to this. Arrested, persecuted, and killed. Listen, you will be hated all over the world because you're my followers. They hadn't made it all over the world yet. We know this is for us. They weren't going to make it all over the world. They would make it part of the way. But when Jesus says, you will be hated all over the world because of me, he's talking to you. You can put your name right on that. And I know we're safe right here in this little nest in eastern Kentucky. But you step out of here and you are not. You're not. Trust me. You go up to New York City as a Christian. You go somewhere and proclaim your faith. And people hate Christianity right now. There are people right now still being crucified in different countries. China crucifies people to this day. In the Middle East, you will be killed if you are a Christian. If they found this meeting going on right now, you would be at high risk of definite forever imprisonment, if not you and your whole family being killed. Do you understand? As you have it right here is nothing. You can't view the scripture from your view here. You have to view it from the lens of God and planet Earth, as Earth is, and especially Israel. And right now, they will kill you over there. If you were in, it's such a dangerous time to me in the Holy Lands, because it's Islam that surrounds it. And listen, like I said, I have studied the Quran. Kill them in every alley. Kill them behind every stone. Kill the Jews. Kill the Christians. This is not fanaticism. This is everyday Islam. There are Christians who claim to be Christians and don't live Christianity. That doesn't make those of us that live Christians fanatics. Right? And the same way in Islam. There are people that claim to be Muslim, but they don't live a Muslim life. But those people who live the Muslim doctrine do these things. The only way that you can be guaranteed to go to heaven as a Muslim is to die in jihad. The only way that you could go to heaven is to strap a bomb on and go and kill the infidels. And then you would be guaranteed. That's the reason why they do it. Who in here knew that? That's the only way they can do that. That's the only guarantee you have is to die in jihad. Everything else is up to Allah to kind of just decide if you've been good enough or not. It's the most amazing thing. He says here, and I'm going to keep going as much as I can here, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Does this sound like a revival to you? Many. Listen to what he says here. He says here, many will turn away in verse 10 from me and betray and hate each other. Because when the brass tacks come down to it, who's your allegiance with? When the gun's pointed at your head and you have a choice to make, will you betray the Lord? I want to tell you, I give my life for him. I might have to one day. Do you love him like that? But you're seeing a falling away in the church world. I'm going to tell you something. Up in Ohio, 50 years ago, we'll just say 100 years ago, in the days of my grandfather in 1910, who was born in Cannell City. And I believe he preached at Index in the late 20s and early 30s, as I've got notes inside his old Bible. They moved to Ohio. A lot of people from Kentucky, West Virginia, Tennessee, Virginia, moved to Ohio to the automotive industry to work for GM. And in Dayton, there was car parts places. It was a thriving community. And what they did was, is they planted churches there. In my church that I pastored in we'll call it the city of Dayton. It was on the perimeter. It was actually city of Riverside. Within 1 square mile of me, I had nearly 100 churches. Imagine that. In just our town. What this was from was from this movement that come down here, from down here up to there. People brought what was important with them, their church. And there's all these churches that would hold 50 to 100 to 200 people. I believe the accurate count is 85 within a mile radius of me. Okay? Now here's the thing. What are they now? Typically what happens up there first and then comes down here. Right? That's the way of things. I'm going to tell you that 90% of them are vacant or are filled with Buddhists, what they call Sikhs from India, S-I-K-H. They wear the turbans, Hindus, and other pagan religions occupy or empty or occupy those churches. Falling away ain't the word for it. When I worked up there for the Lord, I took this whole town, this whole area, this subdivision. I'm going to tell you how it is when it comes to the falling away. We would take my one-ton pickup truck, and I looked like the Beverly Hillbillies galore. I put pallets on the side with posts in the bed holes there, the drain holes. And we would go to Richmond, Indiana, which is about, I forget what, hour and a half from us. And I would drive over there, and there was a semi-truck driver who come from, what's the name of that place? That's Trader Joe's. And it was all this organic food. I mean, highly expensive stuff, right? And they would give it out because they were a Christian organization. Well, I would fill my truck up to the top, above my cab, with boxes of turkey and meatballs and vegetables and all kinds. I mean, you just name it. And I would drive that back. And in that area, I would go to door, hand it out, because it was a very, very poor area. And we would hand it out. I did that for what, a year? Every single week. I never got one person to come to church. I never got one thank you even because of the heart condition of the people up there. Wow. You have no idea. The coldness and the falling away. These are descendants of people from right here. Thank God you stayed. Thank God you stayed. Thank God your family stayed. Because probably you wouldn't be here. The likelihood of you being saved is stacked way against you for the fast, the sake of the fast life. So Jesus says right here that people would be falling away, right? And many will turn away and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many. We see this happen again. Whenever Jesus begins to reiterate things, pop your ears up, because that is something you really need to understand. Dana's been teaching on deception. This is it. People misleading you. He talked about it up here in the very beginning. Don't let anyone mislead you. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. What's a false prophet? Somebody tell me. Yes. A prophet isn't anyone that just can tell futuristic things. Okay? What's a prophet?
A prophet's supposed to be somebody that hears from God.
And speaks the word, right? The word. Like I'm doing right now. Yeah. Right? There's going to be... Listen. You got to be called by God to be a preacher. You can't choose this like you choose to be a tool and die maker. Or to be a blacksmith. Do you know how many preachers are out there who are self-appointed? Who said, well, I'm going to get up here and preach. That's a false prophet. Woe unto the shepherds who says, thus saith the Lord, and I have not spoken. Oh, be so careful. Be so careful to know that what you speak is heaven from heaven. Especially as a preacher. Billy Graham put it the best. And I've told you all this. When asked to become the president of the United States, he said it would be for me to take a demotion from the highest calling in the land. There is nothing more important than preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Nothing. There's no other job. It's the most least respected, but there's nothing more important than that. So, false prophets, watch out for those kind of people, right? Then he says here, oh my goodness, where am I at? Okay, verse 12. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. What's that mean? I'm going to start engaging you here in this. What does it mean, sin will be rampant? What is sin? It's not just doing something wrong, but what is sin?
To miss the mark.
To miss the mark. Anybody else? Good word. Displeasing to God.
Breaking of any of the Ten Commandments.
Violation of God's law and word, right? Violation of it. Sin is something that... Is sin a mistake?
It's something willfully done.
Very good. Sin is something, when you do it and you break God's law, sin is something that has to be repented of. I heard a fellow this past Sunday make a very good point. He said, sin isn't a bad judgment or maybe a mistake. How very true. But sin is something where you willfully violate the law of God. When you, the Bible says, to him that knows to do good and does it not.
It's sin.
Yes, that's sin. Jesus is saying in the end time people will, sin will be rampant. In other words, people doing wrong things willfully and wantonly will be so bad in the end time world, it's going to be amazing. Exactly what you're seeing today. Where the absurd is the normal now, right? Sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. What's that mean? What's the love of many growing cold? What is love and how does it grow cold? And what does that mean?
Have no feeling for anybody anymore. They don't care.
Don't have no respect.
Don't care for people.
Don't care for people. Anybody else? You know, the Bible goes on to talk in other scripture where it says they will be without natural affection, right? Natural affection is a man with a woman and a woman with a man. Natural affection is women loving their children and men loving their children, a family, the love of family, the love of friends.
You still don't see so much of that anymore.
No, you don't. It's people chasing their careers and kids can do
world,
what they want to do.
Chasing the world.
Yes, very good, sis. Very good.
That's why you say our children...
They have no direction.
They have no direction.
They have no godliness to follow. They have no example to follow.
That's why our world cannot stand.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, because we don't have a generation coming up that knows the Lord.
Greed has made it so where both parents have to work these days just about because you got to have a car, you got to have insurance, you got to be able to pay your bills. And the only way to do that in many instances is both people to have a career, which Satan knew this, right? And he threw greed into the equation because everybody wants to make the dollar. And now we don't, we're seeing the collapse of the American family. Even in the day when we were growing up, you know, we seen a difference. There was family was something that was most important to people. Even if they didn't go to church, they hallowed their family was hallowed ground, so to speak. So we see this happening. The love of many turning cold. People, women up in Ohio driving their kids, putting their kids in a car and driving them into a pond to kill them.
Oh yeah.
My daughter worked at the prison, the ladies' prison up there in Ohio, where a woman put her baby in the microwave and killed it. I mean, can you imagine that? Right there in Dayton, Ohio. The love, natural affection, right? Many will turn away from me and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear. Sin will be rampant everywhere. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures until the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. We're there. It's been preached in every country and nation. We know this even by just by the way of television and radio and outreach ministries. The world has been preached to. We're there. We're seeing everything that he has predicted so far. The day is coming when you will see that Daniel the prophet spoke about sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. This is interesting because in order for this to happen, the temple has to be built in order for the sacrilegious to be in the holy place. We know that Artaxerxes already before this in the days, in Old Testament days, had sacrificed pig flesh upon the altar. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And we know that that was one of the desecrations that would cause desolation back in the old day. But the temple would have to be rebuilt, some holy place. Now, will it have to be where the old temple was at? I got a picture for you that I want you to see. They have already begun sacrificial. They're getting ready to sacrifice the 10th red heifer, and you can pass that around. That is a picture of an altar that they have already constructed, and you can see one of the Levite priests walking up it where they are going to start beginning the animal sacrifices again. Which means if they're going to do that, then the time has come. One of the reasons why they say that Hamas engaged Israel and why there's a holy war going on right now is for that very fact. Because they know that when the 10th heifer is sacrificed, they know that the temple has to be reconstructed. And they know that they're going to put it in Jerusalem and they're fighting it. You see. So here we are. You can't say that this isn't about to happen, right? The day is coming. We talked about this. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down to the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return to even get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. And all out, this is when, allegedly, this is when the Jews will retreat to Petra. This is when they will be running from the devil, from the Antichrist, from the beast. This is an all-out You're going to see this happen in Israel. We won't. We're going to get to this here in just a minute. But when the as we are approaching the Great Tribulation, I don't want to confuse you with tribulation. The seven-year period, the tribulation period, when Satan, through the Antichrist, will begin his world reign. There'll be 3.5 years of peace, then 3.5 years of hell on earth, where Satan will be unleashed and God will begin to judge the world. We are steadfastly heading towards the tribulation period. And why is that important for us? If you understand that we are so very close to the tribulation and the great or the time of the Antichrist, then you have to understand that if we're close to that, we're extremely close to being removed. So we're going to get into the points of this. And I'll get to this in just a second. And pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be great anguish. Listen to this. We know this is speaking of the latter times. For there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person would survive. That's this day. So when I tell you there's a sense of urgency, this isn't the doom and gloom book of Jay. I'm trying to tell you, I am reiterating to you what your Lord said. He said there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be natural love. People's love is going to grow cold. There's going to be calamity hit the world that's never, this world has never seen before. And that's what we're on a fast track towards. Listen to this. But we have to seize the moments while we have time to work. And he says here, in fact, unless the time was shortened, not a person would survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. Then if anyone tells you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. And again, here we go again. False messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and wonders so as to deceive even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. Jesus said that. You mentioned, do you believe that Jesus?
Time in a chapter.
Yes. He reiterated it 3 times. When you see this, let your ears raise up. So let me tell you, Jesus says, I've told you, see, I have, this is how he would have been saying this. See, I've told you ahead of time. I've told you this now. There's no reason not to be prepared for it because I've told you. In other words, there's just no possibility for it to not happen because God has spoken it. Jesus said it. There is no possible way for it not to happen. So you have to know this is going to happen. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is here in the desert, don't bother to go look. Or he is hiding here, don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. Immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will give no light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The heavens, celestial and terrestrial, will be shaken. We know what Peter said, that they would be melted with a loud noise and fervent heat. We are getting so many warnings of where we're at. He says, and then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. Listen, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And listen, and he will send out his angels with a mighty blast of the trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth. The snatching away. Everything that Jesus depicted coming to the coming to the snatching away of the people has happened and is going on. So where does this put us now? Okay. The mention of the subject, like I said, is treated with indifference in today's world. People don't. Even though all this has come to pass and is happening in our very eyes, it's still treated with much indifference. People don't care when you begin to tell them where they're at. But it's sad because, listen to me carefully, this is the ultimate truth of Christianity. This is it. This is God's timeline of how the world will end and how the earth will be renewed. This should be number one in your mind because you're so close to this. So the question is, where are we right now? Okay. What will be the sign of your coming? The disciples asked something in Matthew 24, verse 3. They asked the pointed question that we're going to talk about right now. They said this, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? They asked that question, can you believe it? And they said, tell us. What should we be looking for? That's an amazing question to have been asked, right? So what will it be? First, Daniel 12:4. I want to go through some of these prophecies with you and show you where they're at. And I know Dana's probably done this with you. I want to do this. This is so important to reiterate this. Daniel 12:4. Daniel tells us that many, that knowledge would increase and people would be going to and fro on the earth. What do you think? Haley, what do you think Abraham Lincoln would have said? If I would have told Abraham Lincoln, Abraham, 150 years from now or so, there's going to be millions of people flying across the sky from country to country. What do you think he would have said?
No way.
Yeah. See, that's one of those first things. He would have never understood. You see, you and I don't, it's so normal to us, we take this for granted. If I was to wake, if I had the ability to wake up George Washington and say, hey, George, yeah, let me see them wooden teeth, man. That'd be the first thing I'd ask him. That's me. And they make chiplets now for that. That's a little piece of gum. Just go right up in there. Right? Yeah, I will. Hopefully. Hopefully he got saved. I don't know. But you know, I'd like to see his wooden teeth, his chiclets. I'd offer him some chiclets, you know, to put up there. But I would say to him, what would he think if he was to look up and I say, yeah, see that 747 up there? That's got hundreds of people on board that. Oh, yeah, that one flying out over the ocean, that's going to England. It'll be there 8 or 9 hours or so, 10 hours left. Took them 3 months to get here. What do you think? I mean, if I was to... See, this doesn't mean a whole lot to us. Knowledge would increase. I mean, we have the capability, the knowledge capability right now to put billions of bits of information on a little computer and press. We've got all the answers. We have AI today. We have everything that the mind could imagine to do. The scripture says we can do it. So you can eat lunch in New York and have dinner in Paris, France on the same day. What would he think if I told him that? And I'm telling you something as astounding as that you better have your bags packed because something we've never seen before is about to happen. That at any second, and this is nothing for God, you could be out of here. Church could be called. Now, that is just as astounding to our mind as it would be for Abraham Lincoln to think that there were millions of people around the globe every day in the air flying. You think about that. And now I'm telling you something just as astounding that has never happened before that's about to happen. And it hits us. And then the message falls away from our hearts somehow, some way. Many shall run to and fro, Daniel 12:4. Knowledge shall increase, Daniel 12:4. We talked about that. In Matthew, the capability exists for humanity to destroy all life. We talked about this in Matthew 24:22. If Jesus don't shorten those days, there would be no flesh saved. Do you understand? My karate instructor when I was a kid, I've been with this guy since I was like 7 or 8, 9 years old. His name was Hiroshi Tajima. I love saying that. Say that. Hiroshi Tajima. I love that. Yeah. I just love the sound of that. He makes the best sushi I've ever ate, by the way, in my life. And he's straight from Saitama, Japan, is where he hailed from. And he talked about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he talked about in his father's day that there are places over there that you can still see shadows burned into things from people that were there that were incinerated. And that was with a bomb that we have the capability of replicating 10,000 times more powerful than that one. And we have enough weaponry to destroy the world hundreds of times over. And we know the world's going to be destroyed by fire, whether or not God allows man to do it or God does it divinely. I am not for sure on that. But a loud noise and fervent heat and the elements melting sure does sound like something that we've done before. But the fact of the matter is that we have the ability to destroy all flesh. Satan would have the ability accessing
one bomb.
Yes. One. Could destroy all flesh. So Jesus tells us the capability of human life being destroyed is real life. Increase in famines, disease epidemics, earthquakes. We know that that's going on. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. In Revelation chapter 11, 3 through 11, the ability, this is one that confounded older preachers and prophets. We have the ability to view current events around the world now. We have the ability to view world events around the world. We have that capability now. Two witnesses will testify to the world from Jerusalem for 3.5 years, and they'll be killed. That's what the Bible says. But we're going to be able to see it, no matter where you're at. Well, we can do that now. So the ability to view an event around the world, that exists today. An army of 200 million can be fielded today. An army of 200 million people in Revelations 9:13 through 19. Do you understand that India and China can form an army of this magnitude of 200 million people? Can you imagine that? They have enough people to put an army on the battlefield of nearly the complete population of the United States of America. So for every there's what, 360, 70 some million, 80 some million in America right now? Well, they have the ability to put that number on the battlefield nearly. So for every person that lives in America would be the enemy marching down the Euphrates River. Imagine that. Well, but when John penned this from Patmos, there probably wasn't that many people living on the planet. But now they can do that. This army will form. This army is now capable of being put on the field and right now are assailed against Jerusalem and against Israel. Imagine that. So we're there in this aspect. I heard a special forces person talking about this, that they have enough people, we would be overrun nearly immediately. Because even though we have better technology, better soldiers, they just have sheer numbers that we could never overcome. I had a friend when I first started 35 years ago at Riverside, he would come to the park every day and walk, and he was a Korean War veteran. And he said that he was in a tank, and he said that there was Asians coming in. He goes, and they were coming so much. He said there were so many of them. He goes, we'd lay them down and just form walls of people, and they just kept coming until we were just running out of bullets. 200 million A 200 million man army can be fielded today. Sacrifices at Jerusalem begin. Daniel chapter 12 points specifically to events at the end of this age. He specifically starts talking about the sacrifices beginning again. I just passed you around a picture of where they've already constructed an altar that can be done. There are already trained people, already looked up their genealogies to make sure that they have descended from the Levite tribe, which would make them eligible to do the work within the temple. Jerusalem surrounded by armies. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know then that desolation is near. Luke 21:20. We see that happening as we speak. I am looking for the very next thing that would happen is once the world would engage, if this is that Ezekiel war, if this is that war, what's going to happen next is the world's going to engage, and then there's going to be a peace treaty that's going to be put out by the Antichrist, a seven-year treaty. Islam already believes, as a matter of fact, I forget what they call it, there's a word for it, They will put out 4, 5, 6, and 7 year peace treaties, and then it would always be broken by Muhammad. He would get a reprieve from his enemies, and he would put out, there's a word for it, for a multi-year peace agreement, and then he would break the peace agreement, Muhammad would, and then he would go and attack his enemies and destroy them. That's how they do things. So this is very similar to that, where there will be a multi-year peace agreement, which will be 7 years according to the scripture. So when this begins to happen, and we're putting this in real time for us today, all this stuff is ready. So we can view things around the world, the 200 million man army, we have the ability to destroy all flesh, we have the ability to fulfill Zechariah, where the eyes will melt in the eye sockets and the tongue in the mouth. That's the hydrogen bomb, which burns everything with oxygen in it. We see 2 Peter, the elements will melt with fervent heat. We see all these prophecies that are now possible right now. So the very thing that's going to happen next will be the rapturing, the snatching away of the church, and then the world's going to go, and then there's going to be a peace agreement. I believe that person's on the earth right now, waiting. And the Bible says the restrainer, which is the church, is restraining all this from happening. And when the restrainer is removed, the snatching away, then Satan has the ability to do what he wants to do. That's where we're at right now. So what do we do? The final thing would be the revived Roman Empire, which is spoken of again in Daniel. We know that would be the European Union that's already formed. The Bible says it'd be a mixture of clay and iron, which means it will have all the attributes of the former Roman Empire, but won't be as strong as it was before. And so we see that happening right now. We know that right now is going on, right? We have a revived Roman Empire in the European Union and the European states. There is so much happening around us, and we're not picking it up. Besides the short list above, lots of other indicators that's going on. In the days before the flood, the scripture says in Matthew 24, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and did not know, the scripture says, until the flood came. We're there with this. Remember the first things. I mean, it's going to happen. And again, we get into this thing called cognitive dissonance. I've talked about this before. Does anybody remember what that is? Cognitive dissonance is something in your mind that you're told about, but your mind won't let you believe in it because it doesn't fit into the reality that you know. That's cognitive dissonance.
How do you spell that last word?
You'll have to use Hooked on Phonics. Dissonance. Dissonance. D-I-S-S-O-N-E-N-C-E, I believe. I use Hooked on Phonics for stuff like that. Somebody says, can you spell that? I always say T-H-A-T. Get it spelled
out. Something that you're told that doesn't fit into your reality.
Yes. So in your mind, this is a psychological thing that exists within every human being. If I tell you guys, I'm going to use a very popular one right now. Bigfoot exists. Everybody laugh.
No, he does.
Right? Jordan, thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. So because something I'm using that as an example. Because something we've been taught is mythological or is something made up or something of lore or mysticism, we can't believe it. It's almost to the fact of, can you understand and know and believe that one day if Jesus doesn't take you out of here, you are going to be laying in a casket? Can you see yourself in a casket? Can you see yourself embalmed? Cognitive dissonance just happened to you. I can tell by your face. No.
D-I-S-S-O-N-A-N-C.
There you go. Nice. You can't believe this. Your mind isn't trained to believe that. I'm alive, and you're going to live forever. But you just can't accept this. It's a truth of something that your mind just can't grasp. And that's how this works. And so when I tell you of these kinds of things, this is what happens. When I tell you that the Lord's going to return, this happens. I've never seen that before, and I don't know that I can accept that. People just can't grasp a hold of it. It's a psychological phenomenon that exists within people. And this is part of this. So when we look at this, we know that in Noah's day, I mean, he was building a boat on dry land and never rained before. And then the first time it happened, it was too late. This is one you can't miss. Don't miss this one. Don't allow this to happen. Right? This is critical that you believe this. Don't let this cloud your judgment. Can you imagine that you are going to die? Think about that. People say, yeah, I know I'm going to die, but you don't really accept that. You know, people don't plan for dying. We plan for living. We plan to be alive. Right? We plan to live. We don't plan to die. But the most epic thing that's going to happen to you, you're not going to live here. But it's just a short while. That's really important to understand that. So, this is why Jesus said, don't build your treasures here on earth, but build your treasures in heaven. Always be thinking of the afterlife. Because this ain't the life that counts. You know, how you live it does. But this isn't where you're going to spend eternity. Your mind has to grasp this stuff.